Well, take your Bibles with me, please, and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. We do welcome you if you're visiting with us. And in our church, generally speaking, we go through entire books of the Bible. And so we've been working our way through the Gospel of John. And as you turn to John 8, let me ask you, what do you think? Is everyone who professes to be a Christian a true Christian? No. And that's a very important thing to know. It might be important for you to know. There was a time in my life where I was professing to be a Christian, and I am eternally grateful for those who in love confronted me with the fact that I was not a follower of Jesus Christ. You might know someone like that, or it might be that you're here this morning and you profess to be a Christian, but maybe you're not even sure. Well, in our text for this morning, we're going to find out that there truly is a distinguishing trait of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus reveals that trait in love to some Jews who had just believed in him. So our text for this morning is John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. The title of the message this morning is True Disciples of Christ. Follow along, if you would, please, in your own Bibles. John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now let's begin with the big picture, and as many of you know, we can establish or we can know the big picture of any passage of Scripture with the help of four questions: who, to whom, about what, and why. So who? Who is speaking in these verses? Well, it's Jesus, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. Anytime Jesus is speaking, and by the way, if you didn't know this, he's not only speaking where you have red letters. Okay? Jesus Christ is speaking throughout Scripture. And anytime God is speaking, anytime the Son of God is speaking, it's important to you. So pay attention. Who to whom? To whom is Jesus speaking? Well, verse 30. Look at verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Question. Is Jesus speaking to believers? Good answer. You hesitated. That's good. Nobody said, yes, absolutely. Well, remember that John the Apostle, who wrote this gospel, is writing as an eyewitness. John 21:24 says, "This is the disciple who is testifying about these things and who wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." So John is testifying to what he heard and to what he saw. But could he see the heart? Could he see the heart? No, he could not. It's really the same as when someone comes back from camp. You know, maybe Dan and Randy, they come back from camp and they say, "Praise the Lord, 10 kids believed in Jesus Christ at camp this year." Are they saying, "And we know with 100% certainty that every single one of these 10 kids has truly been born again by the Spirit of God"? No, they're not saying that. They are testifying to what they heard and saw, and we rejoice. And we don't look at those 10 kids like, "Yeah, well, our eyes are on you. We really don't know about you." But we do know that the reality is we don't always know. All right, so Jesus is speaking to Jews. Listen carefully. Jesus is speaking to Jews who made a profession of faith in him. About what? Here's the key. Jesus is speaking to Jews who just made a profession of faith in him, and he's speaking to him about true disciples as compared to false disciples. And that, beloved, is a very important subject throughout the entire Bible, but also and specifically throughout the New Testament. Think about the parables of Jesus Christ in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. Remember in the parables when Jesus said, "Some hear the word of God and immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, no root of genuine faith. And so they endure only for a while, and then they fall away. What's Jesus talking about? True versus false disciples. The Apostle Paul speaks about this throughout his epistles, most notably in Galatians 2:4, where he calls certain brethren false brethren. And then in 2 Timothy, writing to Timothy, he writes about those who have a form of godliness, but who deny its power, and he says, from such turn away. What's he talking about? True versus false disciples. In Titus 1:16, he writes to Titus about those who profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. This is an important topic. What Christ is talking to us about here this morning in John 8:31 and 32 is a topic that He addresses over and over and over again. Why? Who to whom about what and why? This is a big picture. Who to whom about what and why? Why would Jesus talk to us about this again and again? Why would He talk about this subject to Jews who just believed in Him? Because He does not want anyone deceived. That's why. Now, there are other reasons. It's because Jesus loves us. It's because He cares about us. And it is because not everyone who professes to have faith is a true believer of Jesus Christ. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 7:21. Not all have faith. And so, the question comes up, how then can we tell true disciples of Jesus Christ from false ones? And in these verses, Jesus reveals the answer to that very important question. And the answer is this: true disciples of Jesus Christ abide in His Word. True disciples of Jesus Christ abide in His Word. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed," or "you are truly," as opposed to falsely, "My disciples." That is the distinguishing mark of true disciples. True disciples abide in His Word. Now that's the basic truth, but we need to dig deeper, because there are quite a few questions that could and should come up in connection with that truth. So here's the outline. You ready? True disciples of Christ abide in His Word. Number one, meaning what exactly? Number two, why? Why do true disciples abide in His Word? Number three, when? When do people become true disciples? And number four, with what result? True disciples of Christ abide in His Word, meaning what exactly? I mean, does that mean they keep reading the Bible? Does that mean they keep going to church? Number two, why do true disciples abide in His Word? Are they smarter? Better looking? Have a higher IQ? Number three, when? Well, when do believers become true disciples? Is it right away? Is it over time? And number four, with what result? So let's jump in. All right. Number one, true disciples of Jesus abide in His Word, meaning what exactly? When Jesus says to these Jews who had just believed Him in Him, "If you abide in My Word," did He mean, now if you read the Bible every day, you are My disciples indeed? Is that what He meant? Maybe He meant, now if you go to small group, you are truly My disciple. So whoever goes to small group, that's a true disciple. I don't want to ask for a show of hands or anything. Maybe He meant if you attend Tuesday night Bible study. Maybe He meant if you serve in Awana. Maybe He meant if you do all the above, if you read your Bible daily, if you go to small group on Monday, and if you go to Tuesday night Bible study, and if you serve in Awana on Wednesday, and if you come to ladies' Bible study on Thursdays, if you're a lady, and if you go to men's breakfast on the third Saturday, or fourth, sometimes, then you're the real deal. You know what's interesting? Not one of those things is in the context. Not one. Now, hey, I'm all for everyday Bible reading, and I'm all for you going to small group on Monday night. I'm all for you coming to Tuesday night Bible study. This week, Pastor Rick is going to be leading. You should be there to encourage him, if you can, if you don't have something better going on. That'd be great. But did you know you could do all of those things and not be a true disciple? You could come to Sunday school and worship service and good old-fashioned prayer meeting. You could read your Bible every day. You could go to small group and Tuesday night Bible study and serve in Awana and come to ladies' Bible study and come to every men's breakfast and not be a true disciple. Judas Iscariot, think about him. Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus Christ. He fellowshipped with the apostles. He was an apostle. He preached the gospel town to town to town. Was he a true disciple? Never. He was never a true disciple. And so that's why I ask, what does this mean? When Jesus says, if you abide in my word, what exactly does that mean? The answer, of course, is in the text. So now you've got to look more closely. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. That's a good translation from the Greek because the preposition in is in there. And this is John writing as an eyewitness. And it means, in verse 30, they made a profession of faith. Something like, you know, I believe him. I believe in this Jesus. Okay. They've made a profession of faith. Now look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. That's also a good translation from the Greek, because in verse 31 there is no preposition in. And here John is saying that they believed something Jesus said. Now you have two insights about these Jews. They have made a profession of faith, and they have believed something that Jesus said. You know what the question is? I wonder if they will continue to believe everything Jesus says. That is the test of true discipleship. That is the test of genuine faith. Will they continue to believe everything Jesus says? Will they abide in his doctrine? Even if something Jesus says doesn't agree with what they've always heard. What if Jesus says something that doesn't agree with how they see things? That's the test. True disciples of Jesus Christ abide in the word of Christ, meaning, listen closely, they continue to receive and believe all that Jesus says, no matter what anyone else says, no matter what the culture says, no matter what the Supreme Court says. No matter what, they have always believed before. If Jesus says something that goes against what they have always believed, true disciples of Jesus Christ will humbly accept what Jesus says and scrap their former faith. One day a man invited me to join him for lunch. He'd been coming here to church for some time, certainly claimed to be a Christian man. And after lunch, we're done eating, and he said, John, I have to tell you, I do not believe something that you said on Sunday. And I said, well, what was it? He said, in fact, I wrote it down when you said it. You said that no one is able to come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. He said, I don't believe that. He said, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe in free will. Every man has free will. God gives to every man a free choice, and anyone can come to Jesus whenever he wants. I said, well, let's look at Scripture. Let's look at what Jesus says. Of course, I took him to John 6:44. You can look over there. John 6:44. Jesus says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so I asked this man, I said, based on what Jesus says here, how many are able to come to Jesus without the Father drawing them? He closed my Bible and he says, I know what you're trying to say. I said, I am not trying to say anything. I am asking you to look at what Jesus says. And he ended that by saying, well, you know what? I just do not believe that. Now, some of you probably have run into that, or if you haven't, you might, or you'll hear about people who do run into that. And my response to that is not to go, well, you're just not a Christian. My response is more like the Apostle Paul's to the saints in Galatia when he said, I fear for you. And if you're here this morning and there's something in the Bible that you just say, I don't believe that, I fear for you. Because an indicator that someone is not a true Christian is they can, without fear, see something that Christ says, see something that the Bible says, and with no fear they can say, I just don't believe that. By the way, do you understand what you're saying if you say that? You're standing yourself up against God, and you're placing yourself above Him. What God says, I don't believe. You will not get away with that. You will not get away with that. Listen, beloved, not everyone who says he is a Christian, not everyone who says she is a Christian accepts everything Jesus says. But what do true disciples do? True disciples of Jesus Christ abide in the Word of Christ. Meaning what exactly? Meaning they accept what Jesus says as the final word, even if no one else agrees. To put it in the words of the proverb, which we studied this morning, true disciples of Jesus Christ trust in Him with all of their heart, and they do not lean on their own understanding. So what about you? What about you? Is there anything that Jesus says where you would say, I just don't believe that? I hope that today you'll repent of that. That is sin. But why? Why is it that true disciples accept everything Jesus says? Second question of four. Why do true disciples abide in the word of Jesus when others do not? Are they more educated? What do you think? True disciples are more educated. What do you think? No. Definitely not education. Well, maybe they're just smarter. Good old horse sense. They've got better horse sense. No, it's not that. Brighter IQ. It's not education. They're born with a brighter IQ. No, it's not that. It's not that at all. Here's the answer. You ready? True disciples of Jesus Christ, they abide in His Word. Why? Because, thanks to God, not themselves, thanks to God, they see Jesus as the ultimate authority. It's a work of God, right? This is not something you come up with on your own. Thanks to God, thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, a true disciple sees Jesus as who He really is, as the ultimate authority. Turn back to chapter 6 for a second. We saw this earlier, John 6, and I want you to look at verse 66. Here's this theme again of true versus false disciples. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of His disciples, not true ones, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Why? Well, look up at verse 60. It's because, therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, and it does not say who can understand it. That's a bad translation. It literally says, who can keep listening to this? They were so offended by what Christ said when He said, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, which, as you should know, does not mean, unless you literally eat His flesh and drink His blood. We studied that back then. They were so offended by their literal understanding of Jesus' words that they said, who can keep listening to this? And so they walked with Him no more. And then, now look at verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Now here's their chance. The door is open. Man, if you want to leave, now's the time. And they could be like, man, I think we do. Because you know what? I think following you is going to get us into trouble. I think we're going to get persecuted. Everybody else is leaving. Instead, they do the opposite. Jesus' invitation to them to leave had the opposite effect. Look at what happened. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You know what the answer is? We got no one else to go to. To whom shall we go? You implied you and you alone have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and to know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, do you remember, I'm not going to have you turn there, but do you remember when Simon Peter made that confession back in Matthew 16, what did Jesus say to him? Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. So second question, we're studying this truth that true disciples of Jesus abide in the word of Jesus. And the first question is, well, what does that mean exactly? It means they continue to receive everything Jesus says, even if it's offensive, even if it goes against the culture, even if by following that you're going to get into trouble because other people don't believe it. True disciples, they just accept everything Jesus says. And the question is why? And here's why. Because true disciples of Jesus, thanks to God, thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, they see Jesus as the ultimate authority. They see Him as the Messiah, which means the anointed prophet of God, who's the final authority on all things heavenly. They see Jesus as the Son of God, the one sent from heaven to give the ultimate revelation from God the Father. Other people do not see Jesus that way. So think about these disciples here. These Jews who made a profession of faith, who believed something that Jesus said. Are they true disciples? Look at verse 32. Back at John 8, verse 32. Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." Now that's how they think, right? We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Okay, that's good. They've asked a question. But in their minds, we have never been in bondage. Probably they mean to anyone or anything. So Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And as we keep reading, watch what happens. I'm going to drop down to verse 47. They start resisting what Jesus says. Look at verse 47. "He who is of God," that means born of God, born again of God, "hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Then the Jews who had made a profession of faith, the Jews who had believed something Jesus said, the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Are they abiding in the word of Christ? No. The Spirit of God has put this here for our instruction, so that you would not be deceived, so that you would understand that true disciples abide in the word of Jesus. They don't reject what Jesus says. They might wrestle with it. They might really try hard to understand it. They might have some difficulty at first, but they understand that he's the final authority. These Jews, they are outright rejecting what Jesus says, and now they're going on the attack. They are false disciples of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we see the exact same thing today. People who call themselves believers, and they believe the teaching of Jesus about heaven, but they reject the teaching of Jesus about what? Hell. They'll gladly hear the teaching of Jesus about salvation, but they will not gladly hear his teaching about judgment. I know Christians who they will gladly accept John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But they outright reject John 14:6, which says what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." They reject that Jesus Christ is the only way anyone can ever be saved. And yet they profess to be Christians. What is Jesus saying here? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So what about you? Do you abide in his word? Do you accept everything Jesus Christ says? Is there any saying of Jesus Christ that you just say, "I just can't believe that"? And if you do you understand? That's thanks be to God. That's all praise to God. It's not because you're smarter, not because you're wiser, not because you're more educated. It's because God, by his Holy Spirit, has done a work in your heart to change you. He's opened your eyes to see that Jesus is the Son of God. And if so, praise God for that. Now, the third question might seem a little weird, but I have to address it. When do believers become true disciples? And I say that because if you look at verse 31, some of your translations say this. If you have the King James, if you have New American Standard, a few others, it says, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." And some take this to mean that, well, I'll tell you what, Jesus is sort of like making a deal. Let's make a deal. If you abide in my word for a certain amount of time, you will achieve a new level, and then you will be my true disciples. Is that what Jesus is saying? Absolutely not. Abiding in the word of Christ is not a condition for becoming a true disciple. I'll say it again. Abiding in the word of Christ is not a condition for becoming a true disciple. Rather, abiding in the word of Christ is the distinguishing mark of all who are true disciples. If you abide in my word, it literally reads this way, if you abide in my word, you are present tense verb. As in right now, already, truly my disciples. Remember the pencil? Okay. What if the pencil had not broken? Now, actually, if Alan wasn't able to break it, I was going to grab that thing and break. But Alan, phew, don't mess with Alan. Telling you what. He breaks unbreakable pencils. What if it hadn't broken? What if we truly had? I didn't find an actual, live, real, unbreakable pencil. But what if it hadn't broken? Then when was it an unbreakable pencil? From the moment it was manufactured or made to be such. When do believers become true disciples? From the moment they are born again. From the moment they are born from above by the Holy Spirit. From the moment of regeneration. I want you to imagine that you are 35 years old. Okay, imagine this is based on a true story, actually. I want you to imagine that you're 35 years old. You have a wonderful wife and beautiful children. And one day, an 18-year-old girl shows up at your door and she says, "I am your daughter." Surprise. And you think, now what? Well, she claims to be your daughter. But is she truly? Is she your daughter indeed? Well, is there a test by which you can know for sure? What's it called? DNA. DNA test. If she passes the test, then she is truly your daughter when? From the moment she was born. Not after she passes the test. You see the parallel? Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are already, right now, truly my disciples. But time will tell if you are truly my disciples. And Jesus says this to those who had just believed in him. There was a good ending to that story, by the way. The DNA did match. And the beautiful wife and the wonderful children and the entire church all received it wonderfully. And to this day, praise God, she is his daughter. And many of us made mistakes in our youth, and we don't think we have kids out there, right? But it could happen, right? It could happen to somebody. And that's a common thing, by the way. It's not that uncommon. All right, listen, here's what happens here. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are, as in right now, already truly my disciples. But then Jesus proceeds to test these new professing believers with his word. Like always. Like always. Psalm 7:9, for the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds. Psalm 11:5, the Lord tests the righteous. Proverbs 17:3, the Lord tests the hearts. Listen, Jesus Christ will test you by his word so that it might be seen both to you and others who you truly are. Jesus tests by his word. So that people will not be deceived. So that people might know who are true disciples and who are not. And you know what the outcome is? In every single case, true disciples of Jesus abide in his word. In every single case. Because they're true. Fourth question. With what result? With what result? Verse 32. Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here Jesus reveals the two incredible blessings that are enjoyed by all true disciples. You shall know the truth. When? Well, it's a future tense. It means over time. If you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, here's what happens. As you abide in the teaching of Jesus, as you go to Sunday school, as you go to church, as you go to small group and Tuesday night study and Wednesday night Awana, whatever you attend, as you read your Bible and meditate on it and listen to sermons, you will come to know the truth gradually. About what? Listen. This is the good news. This is the gospel. About everything Jesus talks about, which is everything that matters. You will come to know the truth about everything upon which Jesus teaches. You'll come to know the truth about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. You'll come to know the truth about man and sin and salvation and heaven and hell and eternal life and how to live your life in a way that pleases God. You will come to know the truth about how to wisely raise your children, how to wisely treat your wife, husbands, and how to make wise decisions and not foolish ones. You will know the truth about time and work and money and relationships and trials and treasures, true treasures versus false ones, and joy. Jesus teaches on every subject that truly matters in your life, and if you're a true disciple, You'll listen to what he says, you'll learn it, you'll accept it, and you'll experience this incredible blessing. You will know the truth. Okay, you know why? Because true disciples are true learners. The word disciple, mathetes, from which we get mathematics, the root of that word means to learn. Mathematics is learning. I told young Heather this week, Heather Bingen, I said, listen, Heather, you have to like math, because the root of that word means to learn. And if you hate math, you hate learning. You don't want to hate learning, do you? A disciple is a learner, somebody who keeps on learning from Jesus Christ. The first blessing you'll enjoy if you're a true learner of his is you will come gradually to know the truth about everything that really matters in life. And second of all, the truth will set you free. Look at what it says there again, 8:32. Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Initially, the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin, which is death. But over time, the truth will make you free from the power of sin, which is the process of sanctification. And in the end, ultimately, the truth will set you free from the very presence of sin. And you will, as Jesus says in verse 36, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the Son makes you free, you will be truly free. Not only that, the truth will set you free from the lies of Satan. All true disciples of Jesus Christ enjoy these two incredible blessings of God. But listen, Jesus told these truths to Jews who had just made a profession of faith in him. And what happened? They did not pass the test. They did not abide. And the question is, what about you? What about you? What will you do? Will you abide in the teaching of Jesus Christ? What will you do with what you just heard from Jesus here this morning? Let me give you four quick pieces of advice about what to do with what you just heard. All right? Number one, first, examine yourself as to whether you are truly in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Honestly, I'm so thankful to God for Roy Fry. I've mentioned his name many times. I hated him at first. I really hated that guy, because he was confronting me with the fact that I was not a true Christian. I mean, he just diagnosed that very quickly. And boy, did I hate him for that. But when I became a Christian, I hugged him, and I loved him for it. And I tell you, beloved, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And here's the test question. Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, then you certainly see Christ as the ultimate authority. You receive what he says. You receive what he teaches. You want to learn from Jesus. Examine yourselves as to whether you are truly in the faith. And if you are, praise the Lord. That is the work of God in your life. And so, second piece of advice, keep abiding in the word of Jesus Christ no matter what. As you know, this is not news to you. We live in a world where it seems that everyone else has rejected Jesus Christ, right? School teachers, college professors, government leaders, even many church leaders these days, it seems like they have bought into the lies of the devil that are being spread throughout our culture, and they oppose those who take a stand for the truth. I mean, I hate to say it again and again, but it's in your news every single day. Even pastors have bought into the lie, thinking that people who are practicing sexual immorality are on their way to heaven. Do not be deceived, my beloved. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's an entire list in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, which tells you, including homosexuals and those who are sodomites and those who commit fornication, those who are engaged in sexual sin of any form, and those who are liars and cheaters and thieves, they won't inherit the kingdom. And such were some of you. So I tell you, listen, keep abiding in the word of Christ no matter what, even if it means suffering. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. But you continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. So keep abiding in the word of Christ. Third piece of advice. You need to tell this truth in love to those who need to hear it. Some of you have children or grandchildren who made a profession of faith back when they were 5 or 10 or 15, but now, for the past 30 years, they don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, there's no fruit, there's no evidence. You are not helping them or you to think, well, I know Jimmy. He made a profession when he was five. I know he's going to heaven. I regret that he's in prison. I regret that he smokes all that pot and he does. But he's a good boy. You're not helping. You're deceiving yourself and maybe them. It would be much better for you and for them if you would go to those who make a profession of faith, but for whom there seems to be no fruit. It would be much better for you and for them to go to them in love after today's message and say, listen, I love you and I care about you. And it's because I love you that I have to tell you that if you abide in the word of Christ, you're a true disciple of Jesus. True disciples of Jesus Christ, they abide in his word. You can just tell them the truth and leave it at that and trust that God can use that in their hearts. Finally, fourth, it's very possible you're here today and you're not a Christian. If we could look at your life up here on the screen, the last week, the last year, the last 5 years, we'd look, and we'd say, I just don't see any evidence that you truly believe in Jesus. God in his sovereignty has brought you here today that you might be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to just simply humble your heart and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I tell you, if you will call upon the Lord today in faith, you'll be saved forever, and you'll never regret it. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And it also says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will never have regret. Call upon him today if you're not saved. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us to tell us the truth. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to be the Savior for sinners like us. And we thank you for the sake of salvation of sinners, Christ lived a holy and sinless life. And that Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Thank you, Father, that he rose up from the dead. And thank you that he's soon coming again. And Father, we praise you that everyone who believes in your Son receives forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place today, I pray that today might be the day of salvation for that lost soul. May it be a day of rejoicing, a day of repentance, a day of forgiveness and tears. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.